And all the prophets and ambassadors, peace be upon all of you, and the mercy of God Almighty. The reason why I'm addressing you today is the events unfolding over the last 2 days on Tuesday and Wednesday. I tried to wait for the flood of Al-Aqsa anniversary to give comments and full-fledged analysis of what happened over the entire year, the year of the bloody resistance and fight, struggle against this aggressor, against Israel. But what happened over the last 2 days demands detailed analysis and assessment of what has happened. And over these days, we must congratulate all the Muslims on the occasion of the birth of the greatest prophet of Muhammad, who was sent to us by God, who showed his mercy, his grace to all the people, for the entire mankind. It was a man who became a nation in itself, who will live in all eternity. And I would like to congratulate all the Muslims on the birthday of his grandson, the greatest scientist, greatest scholar, greatest imam, who also managed to spread knowledge he received from the Prophet. And we owe to him that the life of Islam resumed. And I have to say that today we were supposed to mark 40 days after the death of Hassan Trat, but because of these events that we are witnessing now, we decided to hold this event today to mark the 40 days of Hassan Tarab, who was a great scholar. He was a kind man, God-fearing man, sincere man, both in spiritual way and also he was a great human being. He was a great support for the resistance within our struggle. He was great assistance, great help. Speaking about what's happening today, I would like to start with Hayat. If there is any danger happening to you, any tragedy happening to you, it's also happening to the others. And these days, they are happening over and over again, and it is done so that Allah could recognize those who have true faith, and He is looking for the martyrs among you. And Allah doesn't like those. Who are dismal, who are sullen, and don't suffer from what's happening, and don't expect anything from Allah, and Allah is the wise one, all-knowing one. Speaking about this event, we can see it in three various aspects. The first one is the moral aspect, obviously. And second aspect, how do we react to what has happened? And thirdly, the military situation, political situation, the situation of jihad that we must see within the context of these events. With the first aspect, we should think about the families of those who died, who were killed by those explosions, and we also must think about the family members of those who died at the front lines. We sincerely express our condolences to the families of those who died. We express our solidarity and we congratulate them on receiving this mark, this sign, the sign of Shahid. And I would like to address all the injured, all the wounded, to wish them rapid recovery. And I will go back to that again during my speech, and I would like to thank the government of Lebanon, the healthcare ministry, all the hospitals, all the clinical centers, all the civilian defense services, ambulances, first aid services, all the doctors, all the nurses, all the medical professionals who worked 24 hours per day to save lives. The biggest problem was that there were a lot of wounded, and we had a lot of people who got wounded in their eyes, and not all the hospitals were ready to receive so many people with these kind of injuries precisely. But what we saw over the last 2 days is, we can say that there was a very positive reaction and a lot of involvement from all these services. And I would also like to thank all of those who donated blood, who came to the blood donation stations on Tuesday. According to estimates, it was the biggest blood donation operation ever. And I would like to thank all of those who brought the wounded ones to hospitals, because there were a lot of injured, so some carried them on their shoulders or they took them by their cars in any way possible. And I would like to thank those who express willingness to donate their body organs, body parts, to save these people. I would like to thank doctors who opened the doors of their hospitals or their clinics to admit these wounded people. I would like to thank all of the kind men of our kind people of Lebanon in all the regions and all the settlements who expressed their solidarity and expressed their sincere sentiments regardless of their political or religious affiliations, despite the political situation and differences that we have. And I also would like to thank all the religious leaders, the leader of political factions, leaders and representatives of the media outlets and various civic organizations. The blood that was shed in unjust manner over the last 2 days allowed us to see that in Lebanon we see the humanitarian solidarity at unprecedented level, so we could witness this kind of solidarity. It can also serve as a sort of positive outcome of the blood that was unjustly shed. And we would like to thank all the countries that provided us assistance, the government of Iraq, Islamic Republic of Iran, that sent the plane to evacuate the wounded people, the patients. And I would like to thank the government of Russia. The government of Syria for opening their hospitals, including in Damascus. I would like to thank all the countries that got in touch with the government of Lebanon, and I would like to thank all of those who condemned this crime, this horrendous crime. We would like to thank all the political factions, in particular the factions from the Acts of Resistance, from Iraq, from Syria, and from other countries. And this is my gratitude. And first of all, we express our gratitude to the Lord of the worlds for the assistance, for the tests he casts upon us. And the second aspect I would like to speak about, what happened on Tuesday and on Wednesday. if we describe it briefly, if we speak about it briefly, the Israeli enemy, the Israeli aggressor, blew up some 3,000 beepers. They were blown up simultaneously. The aggressor crossed all the lines, all the boundaries, all the norms when they launched this operation. They didn't care about anything, not from the moral standpoint, not from the humanity point of view, not from the political point of view. Explosions took place in hospitals because some people with these beepers, they were working in hospitals and in clinics, in pharmacies, on the marketplaces, in stores, even in residential buildings, in cars, in mass transit, where there are a lot of civilians who had nothing to do with this. If this was targeted against Hezbollah warriors is one thing, but what were people who were next to them guilty of? This aggressor used this peaceful instrument that many people use in hospitals, in various companies, in various businesses, in transport. People use beepers in normal life. And then again on Wednesday, radios, walkie-talkies were blown up. Radio devices, various radio equipment units, they were blown up in the hands. Then again, in hospitals, in the public spaces too. And dozens of people died as a result of this aggression, including children and women. Thousands were injured with the various severity of injuries. We will have precise numbers sometime later because a lot of people who were injured, they were admitted to the hospitals and then they were discharged. So now it's difficult to come up with the precise data, with precise statistics. So with time we will have more understanding of the numbers, but the numbers are big. The aggressor who blew up those groups, who had carried those beepers, is more than 4,000 people, and the aggressor was perfectly aware of the fact that these devices are popular among the young people, men and women, young men and young women. When they were blowing up these beepers, they did it intentionally, deliberately. They wanted to kill 4,000 people in a minute. At least 4,000 people. So the aggressor wanted to kill 4,000 innocent civilian people instantaneously. We're speaking about the beepers now only. We're not speaking about those who carried those radio equipment, those walkie-talkies on them. Apart from the people who were next to them in their homes, in the streets, in the marketplaces. So we are speaking here about the extent, the scale of the crime. And on the very next day, the very same aggressor wanted to kill thousands of people among those who carried the radio equipment units. Thousands could have died and thousands of people next to them, even if we try to calculate it at the very minimum, over 2 days, over 1 minute on Tuesday, over 1 minute on Wednesday, Israeli aggressor wanted to kill no less than 5,000 people in 2 minutes without taking into consideration, without caring about any moral or any other kinds of norms. Even if we consider that they were just injured, then think of the panic that took place in the country considering the number of the wounded we could have had victims of this panic. So how can we characterize this act? It's a terrorist attack. It's a violent terrorist attack. It's a genocide. It's a massacre. How can we describe it? How can we define it, characterize it? Let's call it a massacre on Tuesday and massacre on Wednesday to add it to the number of massacres perpetrated by that aggressor, by this cancerous formation in our region, this absolute evil in our region. So it was a large-scale aggression against Lebanon, against Lebanese people, against Lebanon's security, against its sovereignty and independence. It's a declaration of war. You can describe it whatever you want, and still it would be worthy of what happened. We can use any definition, we can use any description, we could give it any characteristics you want, but our Lord, with His mercy, He saved a lot of lives, and He saved a lot of people from tragedy. Why? Because on the one hand, a lot of injuries were very mild. But those people who were mildly injured, they could have also fallen victims because a lot of beepers, they were switched off or they were sitting far away from their owners, and a lot of beepers, they have not been distributed yet. And we should also say that we must think, first of all, about the intention of the aggressor. And Allah, All-Merciful, showed this mercy. And all the efforts by our people who provided assistance, no one remained idle, no one remained on the sidelines. Red Crescent Society, Red Cross Society, all the people took part in this effort. Everyone coordinated their efforts, special services, security services, medical services, everyone worked jointly. So the aggressor failed in its intention. To a larger extent, they failed. If we say that one of the goals, one of the objectives of the aggressor was to kill 5,000 people, with God's help, with God's mercy, because of all the coordinated efforts of all the people of our nation, of various social stands, various representatives of our people, this objective mainly failed. But how it happened? In our investigative committee, our internal technical investigative committee, we have a technical security committee, so where we looking into all possible scenarios, all possible versions. And we reached certain conclusions, certain result regarding these explosions, but we are going to need more time to make 100% claim. We have our conclusion already, but we say that we need to carry out clear investigations starting from the company that sold or supplied these devices to Lebanon. So we need to start with the manufacturer to the end user. So we need to launch a probe, so we're going to need some time, not a lot of time, to attain a result, and then we will draw our conclusions. We are not going to rush it, we are not going to be in any hurry. So I'm not going to speak about this technical part, because there is a lot of scenarios, a lot of various versions. We are going to wait for the clear information. But there is no doubt we are realists. We admit that we were attacked. Unprecedented strike was launched on us, unprecedented in the history of the Lebanese resistance, or even Lebanon itself. The scale of this aggression is unprecedented. Maybe it's even unprecedented for the entire conflict against the Israeli aggressor in the region. Maybe unprecedented even globally from the point of view of the way to carry out these murders, to commit this crime, to use this kind of devices, beepers or walkie-talkies, radio equipment to blow up people no matter where they were. It's a great strike, it's a harsh strike on us. But that what war is, that what the conflict is, and we know that our aggressor has a technological advantage. We have never denied this. We have never said that this is not true. We're speaking of Israel, but America is with them. Europe is with them. The West, the entire Western world is with them. The Western world who has technological advantage. All of them, they are on the side of the aggressor. They are on the side of our enemies. So when we speak of this conflict, we place a bet. We focus on our efforts, on the sacrifice that we make, self-sacrifice that we make. We had numerous victories in this struggle. However, the character of this war is changing. The nature of the war is changing. The history is changing. And regardless of the parties of the war, because the war is different every time, it's changing. It's going from one battle to another. One day we are victorious, the next day they might be victorious. So we might say that Tuesday and Wednesday were difficult days for us, bloody days. And it was a great test for us, a great exam, if you will. But with God's help, we managed to pass it. We will be able to overcome it proudly with our heads held high. But we need to be aware that we must understand that most important thing is not to let these strikes kill you, no matter how hard they try. And we must have our faith in God, no matter how hard the strike was, how bloody the strike was. It has not broken us, it will not break us. And through this experience, through the lessons we are going to learn from this, we will become stronger, more powerful, our will get stronger, and we will be more capable to in this struggle against the enemy. Why the enemy has launched this massacre, committed this massacre in the context of what's happening now? The most important thing for us, for the resistance, because to undermine their plans, we need to understand their plans. So what was their objective when they committed this crime? Alexa flood, October 7th of 2023, few weeks later, we are going to mark the first anniversary of this flood, of this noble flood. On October 22nd, the Lebanese front was opened, and this front was very active, was very influential, and was very painful for the enemy, which is proven by what the enemy is doing. We don't care that starting from day one, some people started saying that it made no sense. Why should you be doing this? Why should you be involved in this? But what matters to us is what the enemy says, what the enemy admits. So when we listen to the leaders, to the authorities, the current leaders of their country, prime minister, the head of the general staff, head of the army, commanders of various military units, heads of special services, how they evaluate the Northern Front. That's the most important thing for us. We are not interested in those who are sitting on their couches and speaking about things without even knowing what's happening on the front lines, without knowing what's happening with the enemy. So it doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is what the enemy is saying. When the deputy chief of the general staff is saying that what's happening in the north is the first historical failure of Israel's, other people say that Hezbollah is achieving its strategic goals. Some people are even speaking about historical defeat. Some people say that they have lost the north. They are speaking about a certain circle of security in the northern regions for the first time in 55 years. They are speaking about the scale of the financial and economic losses due to this front line in the north. They are speaking about the exhaustion of their resources because of this war in the north. They had to withdraw troops from other regions to bring them to the north, but they did not move any troops from the north because they understand it's an actual front line. A few days ago, one media outlet in Israel said that there are military drills of the Navy to fight Hezbollah in the north. They are saying themselves that they have lost the north. And over 11 months, they were evacuating people, population from the north. And Netanyahu is now saying this, let's go north and let's resolve this problem with the north. But they failed. And one of the main elements of pressure elements within this struggle, it's one of the main front lines, apart from the Yemeni front line in the Red Sea, in the Indian Ocean. And considering the unprecedented support from the people and the missiles that we use, Palestine 2 ballistic missiles that we launched a couple of days ago, all of these are important elements for negotiations for the resistance to attain their goals. From day one, the enemy tried to stop the Lebanese front line, the support from there, to block this front, to stop the danger coming from this front. And they used various ways and methods of intimidation, of exerting pressure. But if we speak about the situation on the ground, they were trying to negotiate or to agree on the conditions, what was happening over the 11 months from our side might have caused Israel to declare a war on us, but they are not doing that because we have our ways to deter them, to contain them, and the attempt to divide the Lebanese front and the Gazan front. Because now for 11 months they were trying to appoint a date when they are going to start the war against Lebanon. It's going to happen next week, next month. For all these 11 months we've been living in this situation, and they are exerting huge pressure on the Lebanese state, Lebanese people, on the resistance units in Lebanon, in particular Hezbollah, to make them stop their support, eliminating, killing commanders, destroying, razing thousands of houses to the ground. All of this is part of this struggle, of this conflict. And this strike, this attack happened within the very same context. All their previous attempts failed because the resistance continued to adhere to their position supporting Palestine. So the enemy started. Doing this, killing innocent people, attacking the civilian infrastructure. And when I analyzed what happened a few hours after the operation happened, we received messages via official channels and unofficial channels, and we were told clearly that our goal is for you to stop supporting Gaza. We want you to stop the struggle. If you don't stop, you're going to have more. But we didn't stop, and on Wednesday they repeated their crime. However, we can say that their objective is absolutely clear. So maybe this kind of attack is only prelude to a bigger attack, larger scale attack. But we can say that in accordance to what we heard from the Lebanese official sources, official services, Israel is trying to subdue the resistance. They are trying to suppress the resistance. They want the resistance to give up. And many Western countries allegedly trying to come up with a solution in the Security Council or via some other way to stop the war and to leave Gaza on its own, to leave people in Gaza on their own. But that's not going to happen. So we can say confidently that what we did, all our efforts, all the people that we lost, as part of this struggle, the fierce fights that took place over the last year, after all of this, we cannot stop. So we understand what's the context of this strike, of this attack. The main goal is to divide two fronts and to stop us from acting, but I would like to say on behalf of all the fallen martyrs, on behalf of all the wounded people who are in the hospitals now, on behalf of all those who lost their eyes and limbs, on behalf of all those people who are suffering and keep waiting, on behalf of those who took responsibility to play this role in supporting the Gaza Strip that is suffering from the genocide, that is being starved, that is feeling this pressure, being surrounded, being sieged. I'm saying it to Netanyahu. I'm saying it to the government, to the society of the enemy. The Lebanese front will not stop, will not cease to act until aggression against the Gaza Strip stops. We've been saying that for 11 months, and I'm saying that again. And I'm saying that again after this attack, after these 2 days, after all this time, after all the martyrs that died, after all these wounds inflicted on us. No matter what, whatever are the consequences, whatever are the implications, no matter how it goes, no matter what is this scenario, how the scenario unfolds, the resistance in Lebanon will not stop its support of the people in Gaza, people on the West Bank, people in all the Palestinian territories. This is our first response. Now let's speak about our objectives. The aggressor carried out its vile attack, but they did not attain any of the goals they had when they launched these attacks. They are trying to attack the society that is supporting our resistance. And the attack was launched the south of Lebanon, Beirut, some regions in the north as well, but mostly the attack was launched against our regions. The enemy is trying to strike the society that supports the resistance. To force people to say to the resistance, to the leaders of the resistance, this is enough, we've suffered enough. And some people who are not part of the resistance might say, that's enough, we've done all we could, but the enemy failed on Tuesday and on Wednesday, because those people who are still in the hospitals or were discharged from the hospital, the entire world saw them, what was their moral state, what was their attitude, how they express their will, their willingness to go back to the battlefield, to the field of our struggle. To accomplish our goal, to fulfill our responsibility, this is our reply to the enemy. Those who hear the families of those martyrs say how they face this suffering, these tests, we also receive all kinds of messages from them. We are even embarrassed and ashamed in front of them to see how courageously they behave in the face of these tests. We saw the scale of the funerals when martyrs were buried in all the cities and all the settlements, and we heard what people were chanting at those funerals. If the enemy believes that by launching these attacks they can divide the society or make people stop supporting Palestine, make Lebanon stop supporting Palestine, they will fail. If we speak about the third aspect, about inflicting great damage, well, they also failed. They thought that the high-ranked commanders, top brass, were carrying these devices, but they were wrong. The commanders were carrying different kinds of equipment, different devices. In any case, the enemy wanted to kill as many people, as many commanders as they could, and Hezbollah members as they could, and to give start to panic everywhere, to make people suffer from this unbearable panic. But that did not happen, not even for a second. They failed to do this, to achieve this. From the very first moment, the governance system, all the systems within Hezbollah, they were prepared. They reacted in proper way. All our detachments, all our units were ready for resistance, for the battle, to resist the enemy, because we were expecting the large-scale offensive from the enemy to start right after that. And I would like to assure you, all our detachments, all our structures, they stood strong, they were collected, they were prepared, there was no panic whatsoever. And due to the bloodshed by the martyrs, and with God's help, after 1982, I can say that since that moment, Hezbollah's infrastructure has grown so strong, so powerful, that no such crime can ever damage, can do no harm to this infrastructure. So we would like to address all our friends, all our supporters across the world. I can say responsibly, without exaggerating, I can say that our infrastructure is strong, it's resilient, and it is maintained, our capabilities are great, and we are addressing the enemy. We want you to know, so no matter what you do, it will not break our will not break our infrastructure, it will not break our governance system, it will not break our willingness and preparedness, and it will not stop us from being present at the front. It will make us stronger in our struggle against you. So what I'm saying is that we managed to stop the enemy from attaining their goals. They did not divide our society. They did not divide our front. Our enemy, they're stupid. They think they have this technology and it makes them strong. But all they did, they showed their true face as stupid people, as dummies, because they don't understand how deep the solidarity, moral and religious solidarity among our people is, both at the national level and also at the level of the resistance itself. And over the last few weeks, we've been saying that probably in the north something big might start. They started saying that the north is going to turn into a very hot place, so we've heard a lot of various scenarios. Some people speak about military actions, some people say about the full-scale war. I do not want to comment on that now, because we think that the next few days will reveal everything to us. But I would like to say that we need to understand what is the enemy's objective, to evaluate the situation in the north. And if we know their objective, then we can stop them before anything even starts. That's how it was, the struggle of the nations, the resistance of the nations against the enemy. So what is the goal? What is the objective of the enemy? And Netanyahu now instructed Galant to bring people back to the north, back to safety. And he stated that as one of the goals of the war that they launched against Gaza. They had three goals in Gaza, and now they have goal number four, to bring people back, those settlers, occupants, back to the north, closer to the Lebanese border. Will they be able to attain this goal? Will you be able, Netanyahu? Yesterday you were so euphoric. Will you be able, will Galant be able, your army, your government, will all of you be able to attain this goal? It is a challenge, and we accept this challenge. And we accepted this challenge back in October 22, and we are accepting this challenge now. I'm telling Netanyahu, Galant, the enemy's army, I'm telling the enemy, you will not be able to return the displaced individuals to the north. You will not be able to bring back the settlers, occupants, invaders, rapists, to the settlements in the north. You can do whatever you want. Try your best. I'm sure that you will fail. This is our challenge to you. And we said that back on October 8th, and it is going to be a year soon, but we say it again. Our goal is to stop the aggression, the war against Gazans, against the Gaza Strip, against the West Bank too. You will not achieve anything else, military escalation, murders, any attempts to eliminate anyone, even full-scale war will not help you to bring back people closer to the borders with Hezbollah. Quite the contrary, anything you will try to do will make you move more people from the north. It will reduce your chances to bring the people back in the north to the minimum. Because for 11 months we've been fighting at various levels of intensity. And another thing we need to understand clearly and to explain, that stupid person who is in charge of the northern military district, he is saying that we're going to establish a safe zone around the Lebanese territories. Well, try and come to the Lebanese lands and try to do this. Because they stay by the borders, they have their trenches, they have their tanks, they have their dugouts, they have their fortifications where they sit. They have a lot of shelters. And now we are trying to look for every individual tank, every individual soldier, and every day we are trying to update information to find these individual tanks and soldiers. But if they come by themselves, it'll be even better for ourselves, because then it will make things better for us. It would be a historic chance for us, because it will have great influence on the outcome of this war. The fact that they will attempt to establish this safety zone inside the Lebanese territories to bring back the settlers in the north. But I think that he got it wrong. He thinks it's going to be the same as in 1982 in Lebanon, when they were trying to establish, to expand this safety zone that they call the occupation borderline. But I think that it's a wrong logic here. Back in 1972, the resistance that existed before, prior to 1982, and after 1982, there was resistance. But also there are now new units, new detachments, new resistance factions, including Hezbollah and Islamic Jihad, Organization of Islamic Tawhid. In Lebanon, we're trying to bring you to the territory of Lebanon to cross this occupational borderline boundary. So that's why we did not commit anything inside Israel, because all the focus of the resistance units was this demarcation line, this occupation line, to make the enemy retreat, to make the enemy withdraw. But after 1992, there was a new formula. We are going to strike the settlements in the north. And in 1996, we have adjusted our plans and our objectives a little bit more. So what we're saying is that if you want to establish this safety zone to make resistance fight you within, inside this safety zone, you're wrong. This is where you're wrong. If you establish this safety zone, we will still continue to attack the sites and settlements inside within Israel as a response to the attacks on the civilian population inside Palestine. And this safety zone is going to turn to swamp for you. It is going to become a hellfire for you. If you want to invade our land, the only thing you will find here, all those people who were wounded on Tuesday and Wednesday, they are going to resist you because their will is now much stronger to fight against you. So just you try. And the final thing, the conclusion, there is no doubt that this aggression, this act of aggression, it was a large-scale act of aggression. It was an unprecedented attack. We are going to respond. We're going to respond strong, unexpectedly. But considering that's a new war, it's a new struggle, and considering this strike, we are going to launch our strike. I'm not going to speak about the forum, about the time, about the location of our response. We will leave it for later. And we'd rather you see it than you hear it. It's better see it than hear it, as the saying goes. So we will respond. But what our response will be, in what way, at what scale, and even the limited number of commanders that we have will be enough. So concluding my address, I'm praying the Almighty for having mercy on all the martyrs, and I would like to wish speedy recovery to all those who are injured. I pray the Lord of the worlds to give strength to the families of the martyrs to listen to their prayers, and I pray Allah about the speedier recovery of all the wounded, to make sure that they go back to their families, to their cities, to their posts, to their resistance units. I pray Allah Almighty to make sure that all the Lebanese are strong, stood together, and were firm and resilient, so that we could preserve this positive attitude that we now have in our society after this aggression and due to the blood shed and spilled by our martyrs. And I would like to ask all the media representatives not to disturb this peace and this unity and this solidarity that we now have in our society in Lebanon, because Lebanon really needs this solidarity right now. It's one of the main elements of strength when we stand against this enemy, and it will make it think twice, 100 times, before they will try to invade Lebanon, to attack Lebanon. We pray Allah to help our people in Gaza, on the West Bank, our people everywhere who are suffering these daily attacks, these daily strikes, who suffer from the genocide perpetrated by this enemy. And we express our support to everyone who are resisting at all the front lines. We are confident and we pray Allah to end this war with our victory, because Netanyahu, Gallant, and all the others, they are bringing their country to the brink of extinction. This leadership, this government, this stupid government, selfish government, they only think about their own personal interests. And these Israeli leaders, they are bringing about the demise of their country. They are on the brink of being perished. So over the next weeks or months, this great war, this great struggle against this enemy continues. But we can see the martyrs and those people who suffer and those people who fight and those who try to bring about the victory. Peace be upon you. May God be merciful to you.